We're in business.
So it is, I haven't done this in a while. It's 5:02. I'm gonna call this meeting to order.
Okay.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Sure can. Josh Short.
Here.
Tiffany Draghi.
Here.
Chastity Mays. Linda McDonald.
Here.
And Kelly Sullivan.
Here.
Okay. And Jill from IHLS is here.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any public comment?
Nope, no public comment.
Okay. Item 4 is approval of minutes from October 4th, 2022. Do I have a motion?
So I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Kelly. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Linda. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay. Jill, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Sure can. Josh Short?
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi?
Yes.
Chastity Mays? Linda McDonald?
Yes. And
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to item 5, approval of minutes from October 24th, 2022.
I move they be approved.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a
motion that they're approved?
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Kelly. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, Jill, can I have another roll call, please?
Sure. Josh Short?
Yes.
Tiffany Draghi?
Yes.
Chastity Mays? Linda McDonald?
Yes.
And Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to review of new job description for operations coordinator attachment 7.1.
Yeah. So the operations coordinator is a new position that we are going to have in our Carbondale location. Carbondale is a little different operations with John Becker, our new delivery and facilities director. He's just kind of doing some realignment and restructuring to make things work better for his management style. And the operations coordinator position is going to be a position that's going to take care of the operations pieces in Carbondale. Previously, we had the area manager for that, and that person oversaw Edwardsville and Carbondale, but it just really doesn't make sense for somebody to oversee a location that they're not physically at all of the time. So that's why the operations coordinator, it just makes more sense to have this individual assume those responsibilities. It's not as big of a facility, so therefore we didn't feel it necessary to make it an operations manager position because the duties are a little different when it comes to the building facilities, because we do lease that building, we don't own that building. So there's a lot less duties when it comes to just the maintenance and the construction side of the building, as well as just some different duties. So we've outlined the essential duties and responsibilities. Now, I will say when I was doing this, I did not catch, this is a non-exempt position, and I inadvertently put exempt on there, so I will make that correction, and it is an hourly position. It was evaluated by HR Source to fall under the pay grade of a 7. Okay. Does anybody have any questions on the anything, duties, responsibilities, or any further clarification?
Exempt is supervisory, right?
It's not necessarily supervisory because she does have some supervisory. So exempt is Fair Labor Standards Act classification. So it just means you're exempt from overtime and that you're paid a salary. So she would be non-exempt and hourly, and that's primarily because on the Fair Labor Standards Act, you have to be classified as a professional. This particular job description, there is no degree requirement for it, and the essential duties and functions don't qualify it under the Fair Labor Standards Act to be considered exempt.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have to approve this, or is it just a review?
No, I did talk with Leslie on that. We do not have to approve this. This is simply just a review. We wanted the personnel committee to review it because, you know, job descriptions kind of come through the personnel team. And it's not something that would go to the board either. It's just a job description that's kind of approved internally, but under the guidance of the personnel committee.
Okay. I like that. Sounds good.
Me too.
All right.
All right. Let's go to review of proposed employee handbook changes for January 2023.
I know, just when we thought we had it all down, right? They had to go and change a whole bunch of laws on us. So I'm just going to kind of go through the actual sections and explain to you why we made the changes in those particular sections. So in the employment, in the equal employment opportunity section, we had to add workplace and pregnancy related accommodations. We didn't have pregnancy accommodations in that particular section. So when legal had reviewed that, they felt more comfortable to add that in that particular section. On the prohibited discrimination, the Crown Act, which is create a respectful and open workplace for natural hair. This was passed by the state, and we are to follow this rule as of January 1st of 2023. Okay. So that is in the prohibited discrimination section, and it's also in the personal appearance because it has to do with natural hair, curliness, braids, things of that nature. So we need to adhere to that. On the flexible hours, we added some verbiage in there just to be respectful to coworkers and advise them not to send emails or Teams messages to employees really late in the evenings and to try to stay within the core business hours of 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. because everybody does have different work hours and we needed it to be consistent with how we communicated with folks.
Okay.
On the telecommuting policy, we added the remote only positions. So right now we only have those Carly positions that are remote only, but we felt that it was needed to clearly define that those are the only remote only positions within our company, and that information is outlined also in the employee's offer letter stating that they are remote only. The next one was the lunch period. So we had to further define the lunch break requirements, stating that employees do need to take that 30-minute lunch break in order to comply with both state and federal laws. And should they, for whatever reason, not be able to take that, they are to notify their supervisor immediately so that way we can maintain compliance. And the next, sorry about that. I got my phone ringing off the hook. Adverse weather was one that after further review of that policy, previously we said that if there was an adverse weather day and you had like a vacation day or a sick day, that you would be credited back that day. That is no longer going to be the case. And that is due to potential family medical leave discrimination suits, because we need to be very careful on if it's an adverse weather day and you're scheduled to work, you'll be paid for it. But if you're not scheduled to work, meaning if you're off on any sort of leave or you have vacation or you know, prior sick time allocated to that, you have to utilize the paid time off and not adverse weather. So hopefully that makes sense for everybody. Next is the Family Medical Leave Act and the National Defense Authorization Act. So we needed to clarify the verbiage there because we needed to define how paid time off was taken into account on that type of leave. And then also there was new law that stated mental health is now an added serious health condition that falls under the Family Medical Leave Act.
Okay.
So under the Child Bereavement Leave Act, they also had an amendment titled the Family Bereavement Leave Act. So this amendment adds bereavement time for pregnancy loss, failed adoptions, or surrogacy agreements unsuccessful reproductive procedures, and other diagnoses or events negatively impacting pregnancy and or fertility. So that again is another law. So the state of Illinois enacted the Family Bereavement Leave Act. So we needed to insert that in there. Vacations. So currently our vacation leave and accrual time is you can carry over 2 times your annual accrual. We decided just to kind of put a max on this that they can't accrue over 400 hours and transfer over 400 hours. We don't want significantly large balances accruing from year to year. And then on the Consolidated Omnibus Budgeted Reconciliation Act, which everybody knows it more as COBRA, we just needed to make sure that we clarified some legal verbiage on that, because we had like the 18 months and the 29 months. And if you have a family member who is disabled, those timeframes are not 18 or 29 months. So we kind of cleaned that up a little bit just to be more generalized. And we are referring people to the summary plan description because each situation may be different and we don't need 2 pages defining COBRA in our handbook. So we just wanted to make it more succinct. So the next one is the verification of employment policy. We did not have a prior policy on verification of employment. And this policy was added to protect our employees from identity theft, just basically stating that we must have a release from the verification vendor before giving out any information. So it's just kind of an added protection for them. And we only got 3 more to go, I promise.
That's okay. You're doing great.
Work schedule. So on the work schedule, we further defined how to contact your supervisor in the event that you are out on an unscheduled absence. We had asked folks to either send a Microsoft Team message, a phone call, a text, just so that way we were making sure supervisors were being notified when employees were needing unscheduled absences and time off for that. And then workers' compensation, we just needed to provide further clarification on that from legal compliance and making it a little bit clearer. And last but not least, birthday leave. So birthday leave was leave that was given and granted to our part-time employees. It's not a benefit that was given to our full-time employees. And it was really a cumbersome process for the payroll department to try to figure out, okay, everybody's birthdays fall on a different day, making sure that they are accounting for that day, coding it into the payroll system. It really was just a lot of tracking. And a lot of very lengthy processes to get this benefit into the payroll system. So it was decided that the birthday leave would no longer be added and that we would change that birthday leave pay into personal leave. So okay. That way it'll just go over and then personal leave, it's already in the system. They just note it as personal leave and we don't have to worry about what day was the employee's birthday and does it fall under the policy?
Okay, that sounds good.
And that is it. So that is just kind of like a summary of everything that I had. The information that I had given you was kind of like all the markups by nice. Myself and by our leadership team. So there was a lot of red lines on those. So I apologize. But Karen has given us, Karen Milner, who is our legal counsel, has given us her verbiage. So I just got this today, this afternoon. So that will be included in your packets at the actual board meeting as far as all the specific language that she's recommending to put in there. But it's everything that I had discussed here. It's just she'll put it in the proper legal terms.
Okay.
Well, I went through that, and that's the first time I've seen your handbook from like 2014 when I was working on it. But it was really interesting. And I just, you know, where you had the headings in yellow, was the whole all the paragraphs changed in there? Or was it just the title?
I think it was just the titles that were changed on that. Yeah. And that was just kind of, you know, some of the notes that we had indicated as to try to further identify what's changed.
Yeah, there was a little thing to click and it had somebody's
comments
mentioned. Yeah, that was, that's the first time I've seen that. That was very well done.
Yeah. So that was for me to kind of keep track of all the leadership comments and make sure that we addressed all their issues. And then before sending it off to legal to make sure that everybody was on the same page. And don't worry about the formatting and all of that. Trust me, we're going to take care of all of that because it's not formatted. And when you add a comment, it kind of puts things a little out of, you know, out of the sections.
Keep track of all the comments. Now, when will those be published, do you think?
So we're hoping that everything after you guys are good with everything and I address any questions that you all have, that goes to the January board meeting. And then as soon as the board approves it, hopefully in January, and then it'll immediately be out after the board. So the 25th, I think our board meeting is on the 24th, maybe.
Yep.
I can't remember the date. So right after that, then we'll publish that. And then I'll get that out to our employees and I'll make sure that I communicate to them what changes were in fact made and just address the whys.
Well, I was impressed. It was very well done, I thought.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Did anybody else have any questions or need any further clarification on anything?
I don't have anything. Does anyone else have anything? All right. I guess we need to approve these. Do we have a motion to approve the changes to the personnel, to the employee handbook?
So moved.
Thank you, Linda. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kelly. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Perkan, Josh Short?
Yes.
Tiffany Dreggy?
Yes.
Chastity Mays, Linda McDonald,
yes,
and Kelly Sullivan,
yes.
Okay. Do we have any additional public comments?
Nope, we do not.
Okay. Do we have any announcements?
Okay. No.
Okay. It is 5:20. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay, thank you, Linda. Do I have a second?
Sure, I second.
Thank you, Kelly. We have a motion and a second. All right, that's it for our meeting. Thanks, everybody.
Great. Thank you all. Have a good evening. Bye.
See you all soon. Bye-bye. And Happy New Year.
Yep, Happy New Year.